Time to get the real Kipper and Bourne show going. We are live on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 p.m. You can always download us wherever you get your pod. And remember, all week, text us at 590-590. It's Nick Kypreos. It's Justin Bourne. It's Derek Brandeo. It's Jen Rolnick. And it's the Wayne Newton of our show, back, Sammy McKee.
Hey, boys.
Wearing the Vegas Golden Knights hat, yeah. No less.
Are you allowed on a Maple Leaf hour to wear Vegas Golden Knights?
I am, yeah. You know, this mic's really high. Didn't really get to look at it here. I will say that I am a bit of a convert to the Golden Knights. I was able to take in the game on Saturday night.
Are you past the Leafs and on to the Knights now?
I would love to be. I got to tell you, the whole experience.
That's the best answer of all. Can't be.
That I wish fully that I could just absolve the Leafs and just be a Knights guy from now on, but it doesn't work like that.
You went down the Strip. You went to the Sphere. I don't care about that. I want to hear what you thought about going to a hockey game in Vegas.
I can't say enough great things. I really can't. Like, I just, from the pregame show, which is just the most absurd thing ever. Yeah. Like, it's like a knight, and he's like breathing fire, and he's got a, it was insane. And then just the game ops in general, and just how they keep people interested, the passion of the fans. And I will say that, like, you know, we were there with a few people from Allie's work, you know, shout out Justin, shout out the boys. And they're talking about it, how there's no scars there.
Yeah, that's nice.
Right? Where it's like you go to a Leaf game here and you're like, oh, everybody's just expecting bad things to happen.
Yeah.
And you go there and they've been a team for, what, 7 years? They've been to the final twice. They've won the cup. They're in the conference final every single year. We had an Uber driver that found out we were from Toronto, and he's like, we were talking about, he's like, oh, I love hockey. He's like, oh, we had to wait so long for that cup. And I said, I looked at him and was like, buddy, my dad was 10, okay? Can you save it? And he's like, if it wasn't for that flurry, we would have won it. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So all in all, an incredible experience. But yeah, I wish I could be a Knights guy through and through. They're my new team, my second team. Go Knights, go.
You know, it's not as satisfying without having to go through. You know, when Frodo finally got to Mordor and got through, he got rid of the ring, it would not have been as fun had he not had to go through the marshes and all the misery. You got to go through something to really appreciate it.
And they're down 2-0 going to the third period against the Penguins. They weren't playing very well. And, you know, they're just championship pedigree. They come out in the third period, light them up, score 3, win the game.
Lit up a dubious team in the third period.
Pat Brisson's kid scored the winner. Yeah, which is hilarious.
That's a great story.
Well, because he's
one of the top
agents. Yeah, and he's Sid's agent.
And Sid used to babysit Brendan when they were kids. Not a joke.
Yeah.
So they go way back. Yes. And Sid gave him a stick after the game, I guess. And sounds great.
And he was a beautiful goal. But yes, Vegas is just a different world. It's a different world. I've never experienced anything like it. So there you go, boys. There's the breakdown.
Hellhole. It's a dystopia, but it's fun for a weekend.
I'll tell you right now, I would not want to be there 1 minute longer.
No one leaving Vegas is going, wish I had more time.
No, that's for sure.
Well, despite how successful our show was Friday, we're glad you're back.
I know.
We're glad you're back.
But I got so many messages. Disco Dan coming for you. I came out on Monday. Kipper's like, your lineup's crap. I just like, I'm dead. I take off 1 day, well, 2 days all year, and they bring in the A squad, and now I'm screwed.
Yeah.
He says, the first thing he says on our show this week is my mic's high, and I'm like, that's where Dan set the bar, bud. Your mic's high because that's where Disco put the bar for you.
Yeah, I saw my boy. I'm happy for him. Good job. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Daniele.
Okay,
appreciate your help.
Just move on.
From afar, I think you stayed on top of at least knowing what's going on in Leafland, because we're here to kind of break it down. Before we do, on the things that we liked and didn't like over the weekend, let's start with you, JB, first. On the overall feel of coming home off a Seattle win, basically a win one, lose one feel. Is that okay? Is that enough to suggest that people shouldn't be ready to judge this team today for the rest of the season? Is it still wide open based on what you saw this weekend?
You know, you look at this Leafs team, and I think I've said on this show that I think they're probably somewhere between the 6th and 11th best team in the league. People listening might think they're higher. People listening might think they're lower, but they're not. They're kind of a middling to good middling team. They go on this road trip. They beat Seattle, who absolutely stinks. That team is, and they're missing Yanni Gord, whatever, terrible team who they beat. Great. They lost to Vancouver, who's unbelievable. So you expect them to lose to the best team in the NHL. They beat Calgary. They're okay. And the Oilers were unbelievable.
So in a nutshell, they can beat the teams that are out of the playoffs, but they can't beat the teams that are in the playoffs.
Well, I'll say they can beat the teams that are out of the playoffs. They can't beat the teams that look like legit cup contenders. Because, I mean, the Oilers and Canucks are not teams that are squeaking in the playoffs. And, they're...
And end of Leafs hour.
That's like where they're at for me. So my point is, I'm not sitting here today feeling different than I did when I talked to you last.
I think... Last night put a better taste in my mouth, for sure. I think Seattle was pretty bad for a lot of that game, but I think it was a pretty disciplined effort from the Leafs. I thought they played well. They had the puck a lot. Yeah. Thought they did well there. But that Saturday game they good on them for battling back, but the goals that are going in, Brody and Riley, front row seats for everything. It's just like, oh, my God. That's a wake-up call.
Yeah, two totally different hockey games.
See, they're coming home. They go from... playing one of the worst teams in the league in Seattle, and I get it.
I know they won 9 straight.
The guys that aren't there, and they are a better team than
they've lost 4 straight now.
They've shown, but last night they might as well been one of the worst teams in the league, right?
So I forget, it was Yanni Gord they're missing and
Vince Dunn,
who basically there's your two,
and there is a flu going through them that's wiped out a lot of them on the energy, and it's real.
I'm
not using it as an excuse. It's just real fact that when you get hit hard, it's going to affect your hockey club. But they are coming home on a basic split, and to your point, if they are 6th to 11th, it is a possibility for a team to win the Stanley Cup from 6th to 11th.
Yes.
But there's also so much evidence to suggest that they won't, still coming home.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So where are we going into the All-Star break for this team?
We are that they got a couple of really big hockey games coming up against a very good Winnipeg Jets team. Like, I feel like every game it's like, well, next game we'll get more answers. We got, what's his name there? John Tavares, 8 games without a point now. Bertuzzi's
longest of his career, I think.
It is.
Longest
point streak. 6 goals through 46 games for Bertuzzi. You're looking for these depth guys, someone to help out, and Nick Robertson's shooting it in the net. That's good. But, like, you're just waiting for more than what we thought they were, which was a top-heavy team.
It was harder for Bertuzzi to shoot it at the goalie's chest than it was to score on that chance in Vancouver. Like, it was more open net.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Anyways.
Where are you on using 2 Winnipeg Jet games this coming week before going into All-Star break to truly deciding that this team should go for it or not?
It's a good question, but I mean, there's a lot of games before the deadline, so I don't think these 2 games are end-all, be-all, but I think it's pretty telling. I mean, if you get starched in both of these games, I think it's pretty clear to the 6 to 11 conversation. You can talk about maybe even a little lower than that. Like, they're in there, but I mean, you know what we've talked about this team? They go in there, they win one of these games, they get 3 points out of these games, everybody be feeling great. So it really does feel like it's a game-to-game basis on how to feel about them. Yeah. Like, I don't remember it being so up and down, the feelings. Like, I know, you know, they're way more inconsistent this year than in years past in terms of the feeling about
it. I see such a fork in the road right now. And I listen, there's nobody that follows the Leafs closer than us. There's maybe a few that are right there with us. But I can honestly tell you, like, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know whether or not this team should be a buyer or a seller at this point.
Well, you know, it feels to me like you can't, I understand the point, like from a neutral or whatever, but it feels to me like you can't tell Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Riley that we're just going to punt a year. You know, like, so even if you don't go all in, I feel like there's no way you can sell guys.
I think it's a light buy, you know, as opposed to my wife in Vegas this weekend, it's a light buy.
yeah.
You know, it's a little, you just... You add a depth guy.
Yeah.
That maybe you can mix in on defense.
Add a winger. Yeah, like Sean Walker.
A winger to play maybe a defensive guy. Like, I don't think you're.
And then you roll the dice with basically the lineup that you
have. You hope Wool gets hot. You hope your superstars finally have a playoffs that blows people out of the water.
But wouldn't this be, like, this would be...
Oh, yeah, the way it would work. They'd be unbelievable or something.
The thing to me is that it would be, you go into the playoffs, you're the 8th seed, the 7th seed. No one's expecting anything.
You're Florida last year.
Yeah, but they're not, but the thing is, they're not Florida.
But in theory,
you get hot at the right time, you just catch somebody off guard, and then you get going. Like, I feel like they're the least predictable they've ever been.
You put a dollar in the slot machine, you pull it, and then it rains money.
You might win $800.
I definitely did not do that when I did it.
Yeah.
Didn't work. It was over pretty quick.
Let's get some thoughts on Saturday night's game, because I have a few of my own on Saturday night. But let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper on what his overall thought was with this 6-4 loss to the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, I thought our first two shifts were good. I thought we had good life and good energy on those first two shifts. Even the third shift, which was where we got scored on, started well. We're on their half of the ice, playing in their zone, and then three or four times we don't get the puck out or don't make a play with the puck, I should say. We give it back to them. Jonesy has a chance to freeze the puck and end everything for us, and it gets away on them. Now we're just defending tired, and they outcompeted us at our net. And I thought that was a bit of a theme, you know, for the game with their goals, just them outcompeting us and around our net.
We should double dip on clips and just play your audio from last night showing the Nyes penalty. Or sorry, no, bad shift to start the game. Kip's point was just that Vancouver had some good ozone changes, keeping fresh bodies on the ice. Mikheyev comes off for Hoglander, who ends up scoring the goal. Meanwhile, Leafs guys out there for Nyes was 2:04 when the puck went in.
Late in the second period.
2:04.
Yeah, 2:04. And I'm with Sheldon that you could spot different plays or shifts or lapses, but I still thought the Leafs could have won the game.
Mm-hmm. Against Vancouver,
It was a winnable game.
Yeah.
He just didn't find a way to get it done, but
dumb penalties and let it get away from
again,
you.
Yes.
Bad penalty
number
kill.
One, just a better goalie Saturday night. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought he
sometimes
was
it is that
horrific.
Simple.
I didn't like all but maybe one goal.
Yeah.
And Demko didn't have a great game, led by three goals in 7 minutes?
Yeah.
But he still made the saves that
he was really good when the chips were down.
Yes.
Like at 6-4, he was unbelievable.
But better goaltending could have left the game at least a lot more open-ended on a Leaf win. But, I mean, you can pick and choose a number of things that you didn't like outside of bad goaltending.
You know, it's funny because we sit here today and it's like Ilya Samsonov has been redeemed. He had this unbelievable game. He made 16 saves against Seattle, but some 10 Bell saves. And Martin Jones is going the wrong direction, and it's all too much. And you look at, they gave him the Vancouver Canucks, and they gave Samsonov, a flu-ridden Seattle team minus their best players. You know, it was set up for Samsonov to find his way back, and that's good. Sitting here today, I think a lot of us would say, and maybe we will, that Samsonov should probably get the next game. But he definitely got handed the better cards this weekend among goalies.
Well, we've been talking about the worm turning with Martin Jones here for a while.
Yeah. It wasn't just one game. That's true with Jones.
No, it's been kind of trending in this direction
Four goals now for the last little while.
Like we said this from day one, that it's like, you can lean on this for a little bit and he's going to have the best numbers in the league for 10 games or whatever, but this is going to turn. He's Martin Jones. There's a track record there. He's getting older.
Yeah.
And it's starting to turn.
But there's a lot of those guys.
I'm not taking away from what he gave them.
No.
Like, he gave them a massive stretch of hockey against some bad teams that they needed.
They're out there. They're good enough to be in the league, and they're good enough to look great in short spurts.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not number one goalies.
No, if he...
Right? Reimer.
Yeah.
Ranta.
Yeah.
Like, there's a number of them that you can say will always be able to, but it's not sustainable.
This is the thing with a lot of call-up guys. They give you their best for a short stretch, but there's a reason they can't be in every night. Yeah. Jones's last five games, he's given up 4, 5, 4, 4, 6.
Let's go to Sheldon Keefe on Martin Jones.
How would you assess where Jonesy's game is at?
I think Jonesy's been fine. We got to do a better job in front of him.
Yay.
Good. Okay.
I like that. I like that he's just like, no further questions, yeah. Your Honor.
Well, Rick Tocchet, in between periods, tells his players, hey, try the back door on the power play.
Yeah. And
just like that. Yeah. Two goals.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, not his best.
Yeah, that to me is if the Leafs were, we're talking about light additions to this team, the penalty kill is somewhere where you should try to add some guys that can do that.
Yeah. Giordano is probably past his best before date on the top PK unit. I know you probably feel that same way, but Jake McCabe, been better for them in the PK, should probably take on those minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Simone Benoit can probably handle some of that. Lilligren's not a natural PK guy to me either. So do you want to hear about the PK? Do we want to hear coach on it?
Not really.
Okay, I don't either. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
I mean, just win a couple more face-offs and you'll be a lot better.
Peachy keen.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought kind of got underplayed Saturday night, which bothered me, was the Tyler Myers swing at John Tavares that almost decapitated him.
I mean, that's vicious a throw as you can throw at a guy who's not in a fight with you.
That was a Widowmaker.
Yeah.
That was a bomb.
100%.
The thing that bothered me the most about it is the little noise that followed it.
When was it in the game? Was it not at the end of the game?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was. And I'm just saying to myself, what if that was Sid Crosby? What if it was Connor McDavid? Like, where would we have been on, like, that topic?
Mm-hmm.
Where would we have been?
You mean media-wise or team-wise?
Media-wise. Yeah. Everybody. Players, media, fans.
Like, you thought that was a pretty bad
punch. I thought it was just, like, I thought it was, like, a really bad attempt to hurt the captain of your hockey club.
Yeah, if you can't picture it, he was kind of tied up with someone else. Tavares came in to help him out, and Myers hauled off and swung at his face. And as Tavares is coming in, and it glances off the side of his forehead.
So where would we have been on a topic of conversation on that particular play if he swung at Austin Matthews? How would you have felt about it?
I don't think I would feel any different in that in those scrums, people throw punches and it's hard to like penalize a guy for, attempted murder.
It's not
in
the
this
penalties.
Case.
It's like, you just can't let that go. To me, just the mere fact that because it's Tavares and because we've painted a picture about Tavares, that he doesn't get the same respect on other players. But yeah, I get it. He's not Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. I get that he's not Sidney Crosby, but he's also the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, where because he wears the C on the jersey today, and it's just not about whether he deserves it or doesn't deserve it, or it's a bad look to me.
So genuinely asking, do you think that like, in the newspaper, on sports talk radio, whatever, it should be like, how is this punch allowed to be thrown?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's that the team should have decapitated Myers?
No. Well, listen, I mean, there's different ways that you can turn around and answer anything out in the ice, and that's for the players to determine that, not me sitting in front of a mic today. But I think it's another example of teams feeling like they can take more liberties to the Leafs and perhaps feel like there's no consequences. And I'm not, listen, if you want to bring it back to where's the sandpaper, where's the snot,
well,
are they soft?
Yeah.
I think Myers takes a run at a soft team by going and almost breaking your captain's face.
He was running around the whole night, too.
Do you know?
Yarncroc on the bench, cross-check Riley.
To me,
is this tied to Ryan Reeves at all? Ryan Reeves Luke Fox had a great article.
Yeah.
He's available. He says he's healthy. He's on IR. He doesn't know why he's on IR.
It's not to say that I'm not here to say Ryan Reeves should have been in the lineup. I'm just saying that you haven't solved your problem of teams feeling like they could take a swing like that at a captain and feel like there's
fix that for you.
No repercussions. That's all. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little oversensitive to it and it's not that big of a deal.
No, it was a bad thing.
I think it's a big deal.
And, well, I mean, to Tavares's credit, and I think the fact that it didn't connect is obviously why it wasn't a bigger brouhaha, but it was part of a scrap that was already happening. Like, he's the third man in. He's going in there to support his guy.
He's going in there because Morgan went in there. Yeah. And I let's give
credit
John,
to both those guys who were physically involved and engaged.
Morgan took another cheap shot in front of the net, and he...
God, Morgan's been so good this year.
He is no problem, you know, going and confronting Myers, which
both games
you should.
This weekend, he was feisty.
Which you should, but there's somehow it just doesn't get the energy up on a hockey club or a pulse up like it should. That's all.
Yeah, I thought that game had good, I don't know, jawing, a lot of energy, a lot of back and forth. So, yeah.
Well, that's what happens when the Leafs go out there. The games are always great.
By the way, the Leafs had three great games where the Oilers are like, rivalry night. Yeah. And the Canucks are like, rivalry night. And I know going into Winnipeg this week, it's going to be like, you know, going back to Jason Spezza and Neil Pionk. It's rivalry time again. It's like every night for the Leafs in Canada. Rivalry night.
Hey?
Yeah.
Do you want to...
every team plays like it's their game seven against the Leafs. That's why they, you know...
Do you want to go to Samsonov or you want to stay on Tavares' slump a little bit here? Is that... How concerned are you that... This is just time of the year where he happens to have one of the worst slumps of his career, and he will get back on course to being a solid second line guy producing, or is this more?
Well, it's definitely more to me. Like, I don't think this is just super unlucky. I had some stats on the broadcast last night about Tavares' last eight games, his fall off statistically, it's underlying numbers too. It's cycle chances, it's slot chances, it's shot attempts, all that stuff. So I think some of it is real. Just don't really know what to do about it, boss. You know, like, you know, like put him on the wing and have Nylander as center seems to be the only suggestion.
I threw out on the telecast putting him with Marner and Matthews.
I like the idea of putting him with Matthews, say, and having Marner and Nylander as the wings on a line that can be dynamic together.
Or a center on the second line.
Who's that?
Nylander or Marner. They're both natural centermen.
So play those two together and give them someone else. I like that too. I like giving Tavares an option like that.
And who moves in with Tavares, Matthews, and Yarncroc? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying that, but that's probably the best answer. But the problem is you don't want to use your best guy because you need him on three lines. So maybe Domi?
Yarncroc is Kerfoot. We're having the same conversation.
Yarncroc is the fifth best forward by a mile this year. No, he's the fourth best forward this year.
Flexi.
Okay, Yarncroc's swung me.
10 goals this year on every line. Yeah. PK works hard.
That's not what I noticed. I noticed he's getting his nose dirty a lot more. He's a lot feistier.
He's maybe the best deal on the team.
Yeah.
he's been really effective for them.
I tip my hat to Yarncroc's season.
Yeah, he's been good.
So Matthews is a goal-a-game guy. He's going to want to see JT. Marner disappear. Like, all Marner does is just feed him.
Yeah, but I mean, you and I can go in circles on this, but like, I don't care if he wants that. I don't. I want to have the best hockey team I can have. The best team. We've given him four more years of contract. Please help our hockey team win. Don't care about who you want to play with.
So how long does Tavares get on a second line before you got to do something?
Remind me to get to that.
Eight games at a point playing with Willie.
Yeah.
Probably getting to that conversation time.
The one thing I do think is Tyler Bertuzzi is your best bet at salvaging a fifth forward who's really can be good, who can really be effective for you.
But he can't put a puck in an ocean,
which
right
is
now.
Where I'm going with this. I think Tavares, you'd be justified in saying we're going to give Bertuzzi some net front time on PP1. You know, I know that sucks for JT. It's a hockey club, though. We're trying to get this guy going. Let Bertuzzi get some touches, get a goal, get some good juice going, get a little mojo. Because you're right, he can't shoot it in from a foot away. This guy has played with the best players on the team all year. Can't score.
All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe, clip 10 on Tavares' slump.
Yeah, no doubt it's going to come for him. But more importantly to me than whatever the goals and assists and points might be, because the production will come, you know, John hasn't cheated for 1 second. He's not concerned about it. John is at a point in his career as our captain and as a leader on our team where he knows what's important. He needs to play the right way. He needs to take care of the puck. He needs to have good habits and details. And for a guy that hasn't had the production and is getting questions about it and all these kinds of things, to just stay with it, not cheat the system, not extend his shifts, but to do all the details, I think that allows us to be in a position, I think, to win a game 2-1 like we did tonight. So, yeah, I do think the results are going to come. But more importantly to me is that John's setting a great example for our team that it doesn't matter what his individual stats say. While he's fighting through it, he's not going to cheat the team or the system.
Well, that's not a coach about to take away any ice time, that's for sure.
I don't know. You don't hear a coach coaching? You don't hear a coach coaching a guy? I hear all coaching. You ever hear anyone in Boston talk about Patrice Bergeron like that during the game? Go, yeah, well, we know he's going to not take long shifts out there, right?
He definitely, I mean, it's hard to be really bad against that Seattle team last night, yeah. But he was definitely better last night. Had the puck around him more. Thought he had some few chances. Kind of forced it a bit, I thought, trying to find one because he was missing or whatever, but
this is the thing with like them beating teams that are a bit lower. Like those guys look great against 18th place teams.
That clip was eye opening to me that he went out of, and I feel the exact same way about you do, Tony. How long he spoke.
He's talking to him.
Yeah. He's not talking to us. No. He's not talking to the fans.
Nope.
Who's he talking to in that clip?
Him.
John. Yeah.
Saying, you're not going to cheat the game for us. You're going to stay with it. You're going to whatever. Like it feels like you're coaching.
That was a laundry list of things that, you know.
But I mean, kind of it. Like, it has been a bit of cheating, I'd say.
Well, I think maybe he's aware that it's starting to happen. He's going,
listen,
one thing we know is he's not going to start doing that.
All goal scorers cheat.
Yeah, he's cheating.
Right? It's just about how close can you make it to look like you're not.
And the more goals you get, the more you're allowed to cheat. When you're not getting any goals, the coach starts to say, we know he's not going to cheat.
Robertson?
Robertson, yeah. Let's talk about Nick Robertson because here's another one. Here's another Kippers Clipper where I think Sheldon's hoping that Nick Robertson can hear.
I thought Nick was excellent tonight. That's what I was hopeful for with both he and Timmins coming in. This has been not just a long trip, but it's been a tough stretch of games here for us for the last while. So it's important to get some fresh legs and energy in here today. And, you know, with Nick in particular, you know he's going to give you everything he has. And at a time when we haven't used him on the trip, that he's going to have more in the tank than anyone else. And, you know, with it being so tight a game, it was a little harder to get him out on the ice, and his minutes probably reflected that, but I loved every second that he played on the ice. He did a tremendous job, not just because he scored the goal, but how he worked and how he managed the game and managed the puck.
Okay, so the sense out there as of a few hockey clubs that I've spoken to is that Brad Treliving is not interested in giving up a first-round pick or the two kids in junior or Matthew Nyes. So what are you left with at the trade deadline? Would Nick Robertson be one of them?
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do they have for picks? So they've got a third, fourth. Yeah, they got some late-round picks this year. All their late-round picks.
So how do you...
You trade them right now. Best game of the year.
If you sort the Leafs team by goals for per game, he's fifth.
Yeah.
The four stars, then Nick Robertson.
Yeah. I don't know what you could get by himself, but you could package him with something to get some help on the blue line. But it won't be Chris Tanev.
Right. The Flames aren't like Nick Robertson's going to fix our problem.
It won't be a Chychrun or a Hanifin.
Can it be no-name brand Hanifin? I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
Can you find me some discount version of one of these guys? Sealer, Walker.
There's a possibility if Nick can continue to show that he can score. Like, what's he got now? Under 10 minutes?
Yeah, under 10 minutes last night. He's got 7 goals in 27 games.
I think that's one more than Tyler Bertuzzi.
So you assume that there's 31 teams that can say, So I don't know what Nick is, and I don't know if he's going to help me win in the playoffs, but can he score 15 or 20 goals for me next year?
Yes.
He to help me year. Get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Just help me get in there.
If I'm the Flyers, he's the perfect guy.
Yeah.
Take, right? Where it's like you're
a flyer on him.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're already overachieving. Mm-hmm. If you want to give up one of those guys that you mentioned with Seeler or Walker or whatever, you just added Drysdale. You're looking for more guys that you can build around. You take a shot on him. He clicks with the right guy. Like
for me, Blackhawks too. It's like or the Sharks. You know, it's like
he doesn't play in the top six here, so I think that's a big reason.
Like, I think, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I think it's a given that you know it's a Robertson and another player. Is it? Can you sell Robertson and Steves, who's in the minors, right? He's been up a couple of times. He's not a regular on the Leafs right now. Or, you know, Holmberg now has drawn a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you with
Chip?
With Pontus. Like, he's hot too.
Yeah.
As far as true value on a guy who's got another year on his contract next year at $800,000, he's a lot more attractive than he was 4 weeks ago.
100%. You know, there's an interesting thing in the NHL where, like, so to me, Nick Robertson, and I feel kind of like this about Max Domi, but we'll pretend I didn't say that. I feel like he's probably not going to play in your top six as an offensive guy. Like, if you're a Stanley Cup contender, you don't see him on Colorado who's winning a cup, or Vegas who's winning a cup, or Tampa Bay who's winning a cup. You can't picture him on any of those teams. But he can score in this league. If you played him 82 games, I am confident he'll score you 25 goals. He could do it next year. But to me, it's not in the top six on a good team. So it is going to be some 24th. It's still the NHL, and you still need goals. So he could have value to a team trying to get some offense.
I agree with that.
You know, trying to climb the standings, get in contention, see if you can get close enough for things to go right.
Yeah.
He can help someone.
Now, how do you feel that the Leafs may not pick this year to go after a frontline defense of who's available on defense, the biggest names on defense? You think Leaf fans right now are expecting Tree Living to go out there and do that?
I don't think this is a particularly loved version of the Toronto Maple Leafs, if I'll be totally honest with you. I think a lot of people would be pretty understanding of not going all in. Like, I just, you know, you can only get the cupboard so bare, fellas. At some point here, you know, you can make some trades around the fringes, but like, is Tanev going to make you a cup contender? Like, with your questions and net and everything else that we've talked about, I don't think that Leaf fans are expecting them to go all in. I really don't.
You know,
I'm a Knights fan now, so I don't really talk to as many Leaf fans. So
it's not, you know, there is a way, because of the elite talent on this team, there's a way you can see it break right that they are a cup contender. That Joe Walcom's back and he's healthy and he's as good as he was before he was hurt. So now you've got a very good goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And you trade for 1 or 2 D and that patches your holes. McCabe's been way better for me. He's a valuable guy. Morgan's being awesome. Another good D or two. And then you've got your elite scores. Like, I can do it. I can get there in my head where this is a legitimate cup contender. It just takes everything going right.
Yeah.
So how much do you want to bet on rolling the dice, you know, double sixes 10 times in a row or whatever the math is?
And a couple of their guys that are underperforming in the, I wouldn't know if, Domi's really underperforming, but Bertuzzi's way underperforming. But I think he's one of those guys.
Domi has 4 goals in 45 games.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've just gotten more of what I expected out of Domi, I guess. Bertuzzi was so good in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. So maybe once it flips, he turns it on. Domi's been a good playoff guy. Like, I just, maybe it's a different type of team. Or maybe they stink.
Maybe
I don't know.
You come to the conclusion that if Bertuzzi's going to be this player, he's not doing it with us. He's not. Can I move him? At the end of the day, Holmberg's giving me more than Bertuzzi anyways. Slide him in there for 800 grand next year.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
The thing
is, there value in Bertuzzi still that a team can go,
yes,
he's not doing it for you, but I saw what he did in Boston and I'm gladly take a second rounder for him.
It's just, problem is, you need a guy this year. You need a left winger that, you know,
you're too thin without him. Yeah. And I know it's crazy to say thin, but like, you just, he occupies a spot on the left side.
You just need a guy who can be good. What is scary with Bertuzzi is he's had his 30-goal year. Before that, he had two 21-goal years in, like, 82 games. So he wasn't, like, an offensive dynamo, and otherwise.
I see him struggling, too, in his own zone. I do.
Slow.
And he's not He's got heavy feet right now.
Yeah. The Leafs have played a lot of hockey lately, and you can kind of see it, right? Like, this is not the most dynamic outside of Matthews guy right now that, you know, from a lot of guys.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation on the Leafs as they head in towards a back-to-back with the Winnipeg Jets before breaking for All-Star Weekend. In the second hour, Mike Rupp will join us. Plenty of news around the National Hockey League.
Yeah, what happened?
And some positive stuff after the break, too.
What happened?
Corey Perry, not a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about that after the break, and also the Islanders with Patrick Waugh. We'll get into that with Rupper at the top of the hour. So much more to go on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away.
Everything Raptors, before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, and Sammy, Mr. Vegas.
Oh, yeah. That's what they call
Mickey.
Me. Mr. Vegas.
Are you getting any messages at all saying, get the Knights hat off?
No, no one said that.
Nothing?
But I personally love this hat. It's very nice. Love the shimmer. I will say, their team store was insane. The things you could buy in there. You could buy, like, frilled jackets. And, like, it was unlike anything I've ever seen.
What did they charge you for a hat like that?
I think it was $35.
Yeah.
American?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 50.
So still 85 Canadian?
at least.
It was pretty reasonable.
But I mean,
honestly,
you're not getting it cheaper here.
Yeah, no, it's reasonable. Yeah.
Okay, one of the biggest stories around the National Hockey League today, Corey Perry signing and now a member of the Edmonton Oilers. In the second hour, we're going to go into greater detail on this. Yeah. So I will just throw it from a Maple Leaf perspective here. Sammy, how disappointed is Leaf Nation that watching Corey Perry reinvent himself as one of the better role players on a hockey club didn't end up in Toronto?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I've gotten a ton of messages about it today, surprisingly. I haven't really heard from a lot of people on it, which surprised me considering when he first was a free agent, everyone was pretty excited about the potential of it.
No, so you were.
About it.
Well, you were.
A lot of people were. And I have to say that you look at the Leafs bottom six, and you can't lie to yourself and say there's a pretty clear need with the Leafs, where a guy like that, a playoff-proven guy, where you would want to have him in there. But on the other side, and we're going to get more into this in the National Hour, I watched that press conference today, and I would be lying to you if I told you it didn't feel a little dirty.
Yeah.
So I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here. I think I can't completely kill the Oilers because I would have wanted him on the Leafs, but at the same time, it's like, ugh, I don't know. So I'm kind of stuck in between, fellas.
Is he going to really help?
Yeah, he'll probably help. I don't know. You know, I'm not 100% sold that he's going to be as much of a difference maker as people think he is. You know, he hasn't played for 2 months.
2 months?
At 30, yeah, whatever he is.
So you know, on the ice 5 times a week, he said, during the time. So
yeah, you know how it is. You can practice all you like. It's not the same as playing.
But he's got
hockey.
Plenty of time. All he really needs to do is get himself ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not as sold that this is going to be a hockey slam dunk, but it probably will be better than they let Adam Ernie go, who's a pretty good player, but nothing special. Yeah.
Okay, no Corey Perry, but also no Ryan Reeves to be found for Sheldon Keefe to find different places or areas to put him in. So what is the deal here in terms of his availability, or is he not available based on still being on a long-term injury reserve?
I do just want to note for people in the Perry thing, we're going to talk more about the well-roundedness of this conversation. You know, that was a pretty quick hockey 2 cents. So there is more on that coming. The Reeves thing's interesting. Luke Fox talked to him, and Reeves is like, I'm healthy. I've been ready to play for weeks, and, you know, he's still on IR. And so I do wonder.
Here's the quote.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been ready for a couple of weeks now. That's a question for them. I am not in the rooms in those conversations. I'm not going to speculate anything. Just stay ready, and if I get called upon, I don't. I'll get my work in.
But I do think that the Leafs are at some risk there of, look, you know, you can't keep a healthy player on IR, right? Like, the PA would not love that, I would think. So something's got to give.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We've seen teams manipulate this thing before, and how do you stop it? Like, oh, our player thinks he's healthy. We're the doctors.
Well, yeah, I think there's a really fair point. When the player says, I'm healthy, you know, and the team disagrees, someone needs to follow up on that. So I think there's a game this Wednesday. They'll probably sort it out before then. But by sorting it out, that means someone has to go on waivers, right? Like, he's another contract.
Is it a foregone conclusion that the way Holmberg stepped up, at times you love McMahon, Nick Robertson had the game of his life. Where is this guy ever going to fit back into the lineup?
Do you think Brad Treliving, after 20-some games, I don't know how many Ryan Reeves has played exactly, 21 games, will admit a three-year contract is a bust? That's a pretty big statement in January when you just got the job. But I think they're going to waive him.
Kipper's right, though. It's like, where does he play? Yeah. He's just going to continue to sit. Like, maybe if he clears, he can go down and play with the Marlies and get back up to shape or whatever. But
listen,
that's probably where it's
this
starts.
Is
what do you call it? A conditioning stint or whatever.
This is Wayne Simmons all over again.
Except it's not Wayne Simmons wasn't a 3-year contract.
Yeah,
was it?
Wayne willing to hang around?
I'm not talking about contracts. I'm talking about a guy that they refused to put in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And what do you do with them? So
the
difference, Wayne Simmons refused to play another game in the American Hockey League. And with his career, I couldn't blame him.
But he was an excellent NHL player for a long time.
And, you know, good on the Leafs for respecting that. But it ultimately did nothing for him moving forward. Yeah. And the Leafs drew their line in the sand saying, hey, listen, you don't want to play, don't play. And you know, could factor into putting you back in or not later on, we don't know, but you're not playing here. And that's all that's going on right now, I think, with Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I mean, he's got a 3-year deal, so what? You waive him, you put him in the minors, you get to write off $950,000 of it, if I'm not mistaken.
1.1?
Yeah.
1.15.
Okay, so what are you left with? 200 grand?
Yes, 200 grand.
Big deal.
Well, it's not no deal, but you're right.
It's not no deal, but it's not a big deal.
It's not.
People get caught up on the feeling that you sign him to a 3-year deal. So what? It's just cash for them.
It is just cap, but it's also like your cash. But it's also like it is a contract towards your 50 contracts, and that's annoying. And it's 200 grand, which, you know, it's just a little bit annoying. And it's just, another guy you can't invite to camp, and it's just annoying.
I get it.
You just signed it.
And it's not like he's, you know,
gave you a good year.
No, he's not Mr. Quiet Guy.
Yeah.
He's not like the guy that's like going to go out there and not say anything. He's already talking to Luke Fox, telling him that he's pissed he's not playing. How do you think he's going to say to old Luke when he goes down?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's TBD, but it does feel like
they got to find
a solution
here. I can't sit here and say that I was not excited about this signing.
I wonder if anyone would grab him. I wonder if anyone would say, hey, we need this element on our team. You know, like the Blackhawks want to protect Bedard or whatever for a couple of years while he's developing and they're losing.
I don't know. I don't think he did himself any favors by coming out and fighting in 2 out of 3 games.
Yeah, and then not for
the first two, and then never again.
Not again.
Yeah.
Or at least making noise about it, or at least creating a bit of a different feel for the organization. He was supposed to come in and give them a different feel.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen.
You know what I think is hard is I think these guys, like Reeves is a smart guy. I think these guys get older and they're still tough, but they don't want to fight all the time. No one would want to fight all the time.
You're
37
hope.
Years old, 38, but that's.
You're right.
The job. So.
You're right. And then you want to have your reputation carry the weight of whatever you're trying to portray.
Yes.
I come in pretty hot.
But the thing is, I mean, you can't. There's. You know, having an image to portray, but he just can't play.
Yeah.
Like, he's just
11 in his 21
games. We saw it, him playing. Like, it was a good shift if he didn't get scored on.
Yeah. Let's get in Samsonov before we change hours here.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I have nothing else to add except.
Best and by far the look that he had a good portion of last season. How's that?
I mean, some unbelievable saves. You know, going post to post, and not necessarily like the desperation type that we, you know, because he's over pushing, just a really good game in a game that would have been hard because he only saw 15, 16, yeah, 17
I thought he found the center of his net is the best way I can describe last night what I saw.
Yeah, if he's over pushing, he can't get those toes across on the comebackers.
All right, let's get
Sheldon
in on what he saw from Samsonov.
Confident and prepared, I would say, for whatever was going to come at him, you know, and he didn't get a lot of work here tonight, but that sometimes is even harder because you got long gaps between us. You got to really stay focused, and he was great. I mean, you look at that third period save that he made. I mean, it was his first shot of the period that he had faced. I don't know how, you know, it's over 10 minutes of game time and no shots, and then you got to make a big save, so... Yeah, I thought he was excellent. A few huge saves in the second period as well. So, tremendous job for him. Really happy for him. Obviously, it's been a tough road for him. He's worked extremely hard. And as I had alluded to before the game, to me, it had felt all week, you know, like he was back to himself. And, today was certainly a good indication of that.
Can he be Stu Skinner and find it, have a turning point where all of a sudden he's just good again?
I need about five more of those.
Yeah. Not ready to just say we're fixed here.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You can get five. You're still going to be nervous.
Absolutely.
In March.
No, you know me very well, Kipper. You're bang on.
Or in the first round.
Yes.
So it doesn't really... he can...
The relationship is definitely frayed.
He can build blocks, which I thought he did last night. But there will always be that seed of doubt.
I think I said last night, and if I didn't, I was thinking it, that, you know, in the backup role, it's just so much easier to trust Martin Jones, who, you know, such a calm, big pro, like you just think he'll go in there if you need him to just face the puck and do his job, that it's really hard. Samsonov will have to be really good for a good stretch for me to be like, it should be Wall and Samsonov. Like, it's going to be hard to get back there for me.
And if when Wall comes back, I think after seeing what the people have seen from Martin Jones, probably get claimed. Right?
Oh, yeah. Really tough to put him through waivers. That's true.
I doubt he would get through again. So, you know, it's the big decision looming with the goaltending when Wall gets back. Yeah. But yeah.
At least you were happy for him. I think we saw Willie Nylander's reaction after the game. Yeah. I mean,
hey, he seems like a well-liked guy.
He's been through a lot.
Yeah. Finally, some smile.
Pro sports, congratulations.
Okay,
congratulations. You got a win against the crappy Kraken.
Like. Well, once again, I'll be the first one to say that every time I go this way, Sheldon Keefe goes the other way with the goaltending.
Yeah.
But he has to play now, Samsonov, Wednesday.
I agree.
You can't carry all that momentum and have him look as close as he did last year and not carry that in and go back to the goalie right now who's exhausted in Martin Jones.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
100%. It's got to be. Okay. Anyways, from February 1st to the 3rd, all the Stars are in Toronto for the NHL All-Star Weekend, and we'll be giving away tickets to the different events and episodes today until January 26th. Today we have tickets for the NHL All-Stars competition featuring 12 NHL All-Stars competing in a series of challenges like Rogers' NHL Hardest Shot for a chance to take home a prize of $1 million.
Yes.
To enter for a chance to win, text in today's code word million to 59590, and we'll have another code word in tomorrow's episode, so be sure to tune in. That code word again, fellas, is million.
Two Toronto Maple Leafs, I believe, are representing the team in the skills contest. I believe it's Matthews and Nylander.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be, a couple of guys with skills.
12 in total.
Yeah.
I think we had a description of what fans could expect in our show last night.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I wasn't paying attention.
Can I give you a follow-up test and see how it went?
No, you're the brains of this whole operation, not me.
There's six events and the players will choose four to go in. They will collect 5 points for first place, yada, yada. Collect points, four events, then move on.
Matthews going on accuracy shooting.
All I know is Matthews said he's not going in fast skating.
See, this is why I have you on the show.
Willie should go fast skating.
Because you're smart. Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
Yes.
Mike Rupp will join us, and we will get into the Corey Perry signing with the Edmonton Oilers. Don't go away.